Bhagavad Gita, as it is. First chapter, observing the armies, verse 12 and 13. It's not written, eh? Okay. You want to try to repeat, maybe? Yeah? Oh, you have books, okay. Tasya sanjanaya narsham. Kuru vridha pitamaha. Singhanadam vinadyoche. Shankam dadmo pratapavan. Tasya sanjanaya narsham. Kuru vridha pitakmaha. Singhanadam vinadyoche. Shankam dadmo pratapavan. Tasya sanjanaya narsham. Kuru vridhak pitamaha. Singhanadam vinadyoche. Shankam dadmo pratapavan. Tasya sanjanaya narsham. Kuru vridha pitamaha. Singhanadam vinadyoche. Shankam dadmo pratapavan. Tasya sanjanaya narsham. Kuru vridha pitamaha. Tasya, his, sanjanayan, increasing, arsham, cheerfulness, kuru vridha, the grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, Bhishma, pitamaha, the grandfather, singhanadam, roaring sound like that of a lion. Vinadya, vibrating. Uche, very loudly. Shankam, conch shell. Dadmo, blue. Pratapavan, the valiant. Then Bhishma, the great valiant grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly, making a sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy. Purport by Divine Śrīla Prabhupāda. The grandsire of the Kuru dynasty could understand the inner meaning of the heart of his grandson Duryodhana. And out of his natural compassion for him, he tried to cheer him by blowing his conch shell very loudly, befitting his position as a lion. Indirectly, by the symbolism of the conch shell, he informed his depressed grandson Duryodhan that he had no chance of victory in the battle because the Supreme Lord Krishna was on the other side. But still, it was his duty to conduct the fight, and no pains would be spared in that connection. I read the other verse. Tata shanka shaberya shcha panavana kagomuka sahaseva bhyahanyanta sashabdas tumulo bhavat. After that, the conch shells, drums, bugles, trumpets, and horns were all suddenly sounded, and the combined sound was tumultuous. Okay. So, it's a kind of not obvious meaning, I read the purport of Srila Prabhupada, the psychology which is going on now. We're going to read it again to try to figure out what is in the mind of Duryodhan, what is in the mind of Bhishma, and what does this mean? So, because we are at the beginning of this battle. One interesting aspect of this first chapter is that he really puts, the philosophy or the teaching of Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna in a very real context. It's the real persons, and Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre, a real place, and the battle there, and people with all kind of names are given there. Here's Kunti Bhoja, and like that, and it could not be just a teaching, like we have so many times in scriptures. One sage is teaching to another one, he's asking questions. That's something real is going on there. Okay, like that, and real story. Like when Krishna will say to Arjuna, the soul, we are not the body, you are eternal spirit soul, which cannot be cut by any weapon, cannot be dry by the wind, cannot be become wet by the water, or whatever like that. It's also because during the battle there were all kinds of weapons to make you, quite wet, big like storm, like that, and another weapon to make everything all dry all of a sudden, fire weapon. So, the teachings are philosophical, but they're also like contextual to what's going on. And what I read also. The end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, Mamekam Shandra. Amdvam Salva Papibyo. That was a big concern of Arjuna. Sinful activity. If I do that, I'm going to incur sin. If I kill my teachers, or if I, destroy the family traditions, and I will incur, heavy sinful reactions. So when Krishna says, Mokshayi Amdvam Salva Papibyo, Mokshayi Shami, he answered finally, this is one answer to the whole thing of Arjuna, really, his thing. Of course, it's also absolute, ultimate, philosophical or theological answer to everything. Surrender to God, and he is the supreme, he's absolute, so just surrender to him, everything is included in it. He will protect you completely, protection. But it's nice that also Bhagavad Gita is like between real persons. Okay. So what's going on now is
two armies are facing, it's about to start. They tried a lot, you know, on the Pandava side, on Krishna's side, they tried, you know, whatever was possible to avoid this ultimate resolution of the conflict through a war. But, you know, here we are now. And Duryodhana is, as Prabhupada said, he's depressed. Grandsire Bhishma wants to encourage, he said, he's depressed, Duryodhana. Yeah. Indirectly, by the symbolism of the conch shell, he informed his depressed grandson Duryodhana that he had no chance of victory in the battle. Not obvious, you know, the whole thing. What's the symbolism of the conch shell? How does he inform him that there is no chance of victory by blowing this big, you know, sound of conch shell? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I have an idea, but.
Because
conch shell is a symbol that is one of the four things that Vishnu holds in his hands. Mm. He has a chakra, and he has the gada chakra, padma, and conch shell. So Vishnu, the conch shell is a symbol of Vishnu.
Yes. Okay. So
it's on the side of Krishna, Vishnu, conch shell. Good. Good answer. Yeah.
So the grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, purport, could understand the inner meaning of the heart of his grandson Duryodhana. So that means he could understand that Duryodhana, in his inner heart, he was asking, you know, what's going on, what is in front there, how are they, arranged, why? Because he's, at least he's unsure of the issue of the battle. He should not be unsure because he's much, I mean, as far as strength is concerned, you know, the strength of Duryodhana's army definitely is strong, bigger and stronger than on the other side. But still, in the inner, inside, he's unsure. No, actually, that means he knows that he's on the wrong side. You know, he knows. So the grandsire could understand the inner meaning of the heart of his grandson Duryodhana, and out of his natural compassion for him, he tried to cheer him by blowing his conch shell very loudly, befitting his position as a lion. So this is Bhishma is showing Duryodhana that he will not spare his energy. Although he has a natural, well, he has natural affection for Duryodhana, but he has also and mainly a natural affection for the Pandavas, whom he educated along with Duryodhana and his brothers. But Bhishma Dev, you know, he's one of the 12 Mahajans. He knows what is religion and irreligion. So he knows that, you know, religion is on the side of the Pandavas, and he knows, you know, all what they had to go through because of these unfair activities from Duryodhana, you know. So he tries to say, by blowing very loudly, you know, he says to Duryodhana, okay, whatever you feel, on my side, don't worry, I will really do my, you know, my duty, and I will do my best. I will not be like half, you know, half-hearted, you know. I will do it completely. Indirectly, by the symbolism of the conchette, he informed his depressed grandson Duryodhana that he had no chance of victory in the battle, because Supreme Lord Krishna was on the other side. So,
yes, as Prabhupada was saying, a conch shell is very much remember, you know, help remember about the Lord, Lord Vishnu. There's so many signs that remembering that Lord Vishnu is on the other side, you know, like Arjuna, you know, Lord Krishna himself is there, of course, you know, and then Arjuna, he has the chariot given by Agni, and he has Hanuman on the flag roaring during the battle, and each time there was some big action, Hanuman on the flag was roaring, big fighter. I remember Arjuna offered his respects to Hanuman before the battle. And Prabhupada said, just like, you know, he was the acharya, the fighting acharya Hanuman. So Arjuna, you know, traditionally very humble, he offered his respects to his guru. And Hanuman roared, let's go. Anyway, many different symbols, so that Duryodhana could not ignore that things will go wrong for him. But also, it can be understood that if Bhishma Dev would not have sounded the conch shell full blow, like that, he could have felt, well, too bad. If he was a little more into it, you know, we may have a chance, you know. So let's find a way to, you know, really push and encourage Bhishma. But then, no. Bhishma blew the conch shell like a lion, as much as he was supposed to do it. That means, you know, although he's blowing still, all the bad omens are still there. So, you know, he may have, you know, 10 Bhishma there with him, that will not make it. It's already, destiny is already there. So Duryodhana was like that, you know, supposed to be encouraged, but actually that made him well, okay, you know, we are finished, you know. Bhishma Dev, he has, you know, doing his max, but, you know, Konshel is there, and Krishna is there. You know, wrong plan. Yeah, because Supreme Lord Krishna was on the other side, but still it was his duty to conduct the fight, Bhishma Dev, and no pains will be spared in that connection. Yeah, you understand what I mean? That if Bhishma Dev would not have blown his conch shell very, very loudly, you know, full thing, Duryodhana could have think, it's gonna go wrong. But, you know, we have a chance here. We're gonna push Bhishma Dev a little more, you know, encourage him a lot, and then maybe go. But no, that's not. It's, you know, it's finished. You know, Bhishma Dev already announced that he would do his max, and the bad omens are still there. So it was, you know, he was depressed. Okay, that's the presentation. Do you have any question or comment before we can try to find some inspiration in this connection, verse and purport? Or I can, if you don't have, you can repeat the questions. So do you have any question or precision to ask or to give? No, not obliged, eh? Okay. Okay.
I just have a comment.
Yes.
we went on Indrajima Science Parikram to Kurukshetra.
Oh.
And when I was there, it was the first time I had been there, but by going there and seeing those places where Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, where Bhishma Dev passed away, it really became clear to me how this has really happened, this history, you know, like this really solidified the whole history of Mahabharata. So just going to Kurukshetra itself also adds to that.
Mataji should give a class, you know, on Bhagavad Gita after a pilgrimage in Kurukshetra, you know, it's going to make it really real, you know. Yeah, just like here we are in Braj, you know, and makes Krishna real, you know, when we chant Jai Radha Madhava, Yashodhanana, Giriraj, and everything, you know, Yamuna, here we are, you know, it's real. So, same, yeah. We went to Kurukshetra, Dharmakshetra. Yeah. Yes, Mataji.
Two comments. One comment is that not only Arjuna took the opportunity to pay his respects to Hanuman, but he also paid his respects to Dronacharya and Kripacharya.
Yeah.
And they blessed him as well. I don't know. I haven't read the Mahabharata so deeply, but according to the movie, Arjuna shot an arrow so that it would land at the lotus feet of his spiritual master,
right,
who taught him the art, the military arts.
Right.
So he was quite pleased. Another comment was that Bhishma Dev, who was a Mahajan, understood completely what Krishna's will was, and he took the opportunity to leave his body during this war. And this is actually something I've never thought of before, but somehow, how you expressed it, it just occurred to me that this was such a perfect opportunity because he was also in Viryabhav, and he had the opportunity to fight with Krishna, and he had the opportunity to lose every drop of his blood by the arrows of Arjuna. And thus, as he explained to Draupadi, who was a little sarcastic about the philosophy he was speaking at the end, to encourage Yudhisthira, he had become purified by this. Mm. And he knew all these things. He probably knew them beforehand.
Yes.
I can't, you know, maybe I shouldn't speculate like that, but it seems that he had the intuition that this war is not going to be won by Duryodhana, it's going to be won by Krishna and Arjuna and the Pandavas. And what a great opportunity to leave his body in the presence of Krishna, who was very kind to stand there.
Yeah, really, he really.
In his forearm form.
Yeah. As you said, he really went into his Viryabhav, you know, really took advantage, you know, of developing his relationship with Lord Krishna during the battle and make it, you know, glorious end in his natural relationship with Krishna, the warrior. Yeah, Bhishma Dev's story is fantastic, eh? Up to the end, especially
also
to the end.
Very interesting, the idea of he was in Mahabhav, but he was Mahabhav in Viryabhav.
Yeah.
So this isn't one of the five topmost bhavs, but Krishna reciprocated completely.
Yeah. Any reciprocation with the Lord is absolute. So it is because Krishna is full. Krishna
he also
is full.
Done his duty to put Yudhisthira on the throne.
Yeah.
Because that was his whole, all those years was his whole ulterior motive, was to make sure that Yudhisthira got to the throne. Mm.
Oh, Krishna is so nice, intelligent, and amazing that he can do so many things in once. You know, the whole battle of Kurukshetra, and I mean, so many things happen. And this example, you know, Bhishmadev, some other who found himself on the other side against Krishna, but actually it was, you know, all his life which ends well. And it was all, you know. So we should not be too worried about our future when it sounds difficult, you know, this can be solved or this or that. You know, Krishna always has some far out solutions that we did not thought about. You know, sometimes we are we may be in a difficult situation when we don't see the outcome. You know, it's no solution, you know. If I do that, it will work, you know. Or maybe this, you know, one or two solutions. But it's, and actually, pew, all of a sudden, things change completely, and Krishna's plan unfold. Oh, wow, I did not think about this solution. Krishna comes out with another idea, you know, which is, you know, perfect. Probably you had this experience, that, you know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him of your plan. if you want to make God have a good laugh, tell him about your own plan. Yeah. You know. So, okay. So one thing we can feel in this connection here, yeah, that Duryodhana really try his best to put everything on his side, but no matter what he did or what he could have done, the beginning was wrong. So that means whatever, let's speak of like materialistic people, you know, are just, you know, putting aside God and trying just to follow their own desire and plans, you know, and, you know, God wants, it's okay, he doesn't want, don't care, still go like that. Then it's wrong since the beginning, and they will never be successful. You know, that we have to, not we have to, we do understand, we feel, that, you know, our whatever power is in the hand, seemingly, of a non-devotee, it has no reality, at least ultimately. You know, it will not be successful. You may have, like, on the balance, you know very, very small, and, you know, the guy is very big, like that, but, you know, it counts zero, because at least philosophically, everything is wrong. You know, start with, you know, 1 + 1 = 3 or whatever. You know, there's one supreme controller, and he's, you know, supremely in charge, originally in charge of everything. His will is complete, is absolute. You know, it's concerned completely himself, since he is everything. So for sure, everything will go right, according to his sweet will. And whoever goes along his sweet will be victorious. Yatra, Yogeshvara, Krishna, Tatra, Dano, Dhananjaya. You know, wherever there is Krishna and his servants, like Arjuna, his devotees, affectionate servants, there will be victory, morality, opulence, like that. So today, always, there is a constant opposition between Sura and Asura in the material world where we are now. And and this world is not like only like here for justice. It is there for justice, but it is also and mainly for compassion from the Lord. He wants those who did wrong He wants justice, but why? Not for the sake of justice. Doesn't care. He wants, if there is justice, he wants it for the benefit of those, you know, fallen souls or who think wrong. So he wants justice so that they can become happy again. So this material world is meant for that. It's meant to help everybody to come back to his good senses so that everything will end well. And one way he does this is to glorify his devotees within this world. You know, show that actually the topmost place or the topmost persons or the topmost plan in this world, this material world, is the glory of God's devotees. And so many stories we have in Srimad Bhagavatam or in Krishna Lila or in Gaura Lila or like that, and so many are glorifying the surrender of the devotees of the Lord. Glorifying how they are, wow, surrendering, you know, so much, with so much, you know, faith and devotion and sacrifice and so many stories like that, you know. And this is the end of the ultimate goal of this story of this material world, that devotees are, you know, protected, but they are also the winner in this world. They may not be big, they may not have big opulence, they may not have big strength, big beauty, big intelligence, big this and that, but they have the ultimate opulence of being surrendered to their Lord, to the Supreme Lord. And just because of that, the Lord wants them to be shown as his people. They are my people, you know, my family. So that everybody can understand that this world is meant not for sense gratification, for happiness separated from connection with God, but also he wants that so everybody can see that this world is meant for a very positive teaching and encouragement, that if you follow on the footsteps of my people, my devotees, this is what, you know, you will have me fully. If you follow justice, dharma, or different dharmas, you will have justice. You know, if you make a, like, you know, class again, you know, if you make a step outside, well, you will have also justice, you know, punishment. But if you follow my dharma, you know, Sarva Dharma Pari, Mam Ekam, one, my only dharma, you know, forget about everything else, just surrender to me, become my devotee, then you will have justice, compassion and victory, and this will be shown to others, for example, you know, Arjuna, all the devotees, you know, Dhruva Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj, and all the, you know, so many, Prabhupada, yeah. So that's, okay, that's for the, let's say, global view of this material world. And we can also have some teaching for us as devotees, you know. But is there any question or comments on this? On this, yes, Mataji. Okay. Yeah, Bhishma is a very attractive person.
Thinking that the scene when Arjuna was supposedly fighting with Bhishma, but Krishna saw that his heart wasn't in it, and then Krishna jumped off the chariot and picked up the wheel to go towards to kill Bhishma, and Arjuna was grabbing him, trying to, because that meant that he would have broken his word, that he wasn't going to fight. But yet Bhishma was seeing him as love.
Yeah.
You know, even though he was coming to kill him,
yeah,
he was like entranced by his appearance and welcomed him to come and kill him. And what it brought to mind for me is, you know, when the time to leave the body, to see Krishna as the one who's coming to take you out of your body.
Yes.
And that's love.
Yes. Yes. Bhishma Dev Ki Jai. Yeah, that's love, yeah. Yeah, we are not yogis or nice guys, nice ladies, you know, religious people. No, we are just, you know, running humbly toward Krishna's mercy. And, you know, not that we choose a time of leaving the body, right time, right thing. And no. No, we completely depend upon the Lord because we know that ultimately we are, you know, powerless, and also we know that that he loves his devotees. You know, these small, you know, small microbes, you know, try to offer me a leaf, or, you know, a flower. He's, you know, so nice. Oh, what can I do? He cannot resist to his devotee. So many times Prabhupada explained that, you know, you don't have to worry too much about your yogic way of living your body. You know, just, you know, keep doing what you are doing now all your life long, and develop the relationship with Krishna of dependence, surrendering, and try to hear what Krishna is telling you day after day, and it will be the same as the time of death. No difference. Just like for a non-devotee, real, you know, engaged in full, you know, materialistic life only. Time of death is non-different from any other day. I saw many people dying. I'm a doctor, and I was, and I saw for them death, you know, the day of death, or the time of death, was not different from any other day of their life, you know. You know, even if they more or less knew it was coming or it was there, you know, what's the news today? Oh, the weather is better. Oh, yes, you know, doctor, I have a little pain here. I mean, it's far out. They don't change. You know, it's just, so for a devotee, it's going to be the same thing. We don't know if it will be in the morning or in the evening. I mean, if it will be outside or inside. If you know what I mean? But we don't worry so much. You know, it will be the same as any day as today. You know, wow, that's nice. You know, today, in Vrindavan, Bhagavad Gita, Mosh Devori, we're good. But some or other, Krishna is there. Why are we here? Because the Lord is inviting us here. He probably likes us. You know, if we are here, it says his home. You know, it's Prabhupada's home. So if we are here, that the Lord has, he has a good eye on us. That means, you know, we'll be the same. Yeah. And Bhishmadev, you know, it's attractive to speak about Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev. Just like Prabhupada was saying, I don't want to speculate too much, but still, you know, I was thinking, when he blew his conch shell very loudly, okay, it's in the context of the with Duryodhana and this and that. But also, I mean, he's a pure devotee, so there's not a second where he's not in his relationship with Krishna, whatever he does. So when he blew his conch shell, you know, he's a virya above, you know. I mean, I really want to get into my relationship with Krishna, you know, here's your opportunity, you know, fighting. Wow, Krishna, woo! We're going to have it together, you know, it's going to be, you know, ecstasy. You know, Mahabhav, ecstasy, you know. Yeah, yeah. Who can understand that? Nobody, and not us even. But, you know, the Acharyas and Prabhupada told us, you know, that actually, you know, and Bhishmadev was throwing, you know, arrows to Krishna. Krishna felt like, you know, kisses of love, you know. Like, you know. Huh? Love's bite, yeah. Prabhupada told us that. So immediately it becomes clear, you know, what's going on, you know. Three, five, nice. Okay, so another aspect, yes, if you like, about the situation here, that Duryodhana can do whatever he wants, you know. He got the big army, you know, Krishna, Arjuna got only Krishna. And he got an army, Krishna's army, and anyway, he had all big ones, you know, he had Bhishma Dev on his side, had, you know, but nothing could do it. Okay, but for us also, sometime, we may, as devotees, with good intention, we want to serve the Lord, and, well, we may not have Krishna in front of us to tell us what to do, or even spiritual master, exactly, or we want to, you know, so we go deep in our heart, and oh, maybe my Lord or my Gurudev, if I could do that for you, that would be nice. You know, it would be very nice. And we put together all things so that we may be successful. And it takes surrender, it takes sacrifice, it takes, you know, thinking how to, you know, you see what I mean? Or should I give an example? One example, anyway, always speaking about oneself, I understand. It's natural. It's not just to speak about me. But Prabhupada told me here, okay, you finish your medical study and you come back here to Vrindavan and take care of the devotees. Right? So, I tried hard to do that. You know, and anyway, it's a long story. But ultimately, after many hardship, thinking about how can I do that, and you know, it was obstacles like this and that. Finally, I did a lot. You know, yeah, I should do this and that. I went to learn how to practice in India, in Mumbai, in Hindu hospital, and then finally I brought my whole family here. You know, so let's have a try. You know, before really engaging, I brought my family, my three children, small ones. You know, like they were like 2 years old, 6 and 11, something like that. And everything was going well, you know, gradually. My plan was, you know, unfolding, you know. I was accepted in Mumbai, in the Hindu hospital, you know. I learned how to speak medical English and treat, you know, dysentery and typhoid fever. I never knew that in France, you know, like that. Anyway, it was going on. I said, wow, I bought Indian books of medicine and everything like that, and I was relating with doctors here in South Hospital, and I mean, I tried to figure out, and I brought the family. Everything was almost okay. So, wow, Krishna is really behind. Good, 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 good. You know, and I came here finally. I was in Mayapur with them. I came here, and everything just stopped completely. My three children almost died. You know, two were in complete dysentery, almost, you know, unconscious after 3 days, and my last son was okay, he was okay. Then all of a sudden he had headache, fever, vomiting. I'm a doctor. No, not that. I did not want to ask him, do you have headache in the back? Can you do that? Said, no, it hurts, I can't do that. And he was getting a little dizzy. That's it, you know, meningitis, you know. Oh, my God. I was, you know, terrible. Anyway, so that was, I remember, by, you know, Krishna's mercy, everything went okay. But I was here. It was like, you know, 10 p.m., all dark. Electricity was cut. It was raining. And we had to pack everything with my wife, with a torchlight, put everybody to find a taxi, and go to hospital in Delhi. I just run out of Vrindavan. Just, Krishna, Radha. I understand, it's not for me. Not now, at least. But up to this point, everything was, you know, going on well, you know. Wow, yeah, good, 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 better and better. And then, boom, stop. So sometimes we may put everything on our side for Krishna. You know, for service, but it is not Krishna's idea. You know, Krishna has another idea, or later or another way, or you have seen something wrong. Anyway, so we have to depend on Krishna's mercy. That was the lesson I tried to learn more and more. Simple lesson, but you know, even in devotional service, with good intentions, always remain, you know, small, humble. Even if we are promised, oh, Krishna is wants me, or is agreeing to do me to do, you know, a nice thing or big thing, big service. You know, we don't know. Krishna is not.
Just a little Brahmananda story to illustrate that last point.
Brahmananda.
A little point to illustrate the point.
Yes.
That we were all in Kenya, in Nairobi, in Mombasa, and at that time was like 35, 37, 8 years ago, and it was very difficult preaching, and it really taught us not to be attached to the fruits of our labor. I think the fruits of our labor eventually came out like 35, 40 years later, but Brahmananda, who was a Swami at the time, asked me to, I was secretary, among other things, and he asked me to type a letter to Srila Prabhupada, asking him, listen, we're not making any devotees, we're not making any money, we're not make, it doesn't seem like we're making too much progress in our preaching here. Should we just close it up? So Prabhupada returned the letter simply by saying, please maintain my center in Nairobi. So by that, if you read in between the lines, just keep on trying, because if, you know, when it's your time, it's your time. If it's not your time, it's not your time. But eventually, all that preaching, it bore fruit. They eventually got it, built a huge temple, a couple of huge temples. They had a couple of schools, and made a lot of devotees who are still there, and met a lot of new devotees, and they've got some very nice preaching. So you may want to do something for Krishna, and Krishna will definitely help you, but it may not be exactly in the way that you thought it was going to happen.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Usually it won't be in the way that
you thought it would be. Yeah. Yes, Krishna, usually we hear that he does this to purify us or to increase our desire. You know, although it's difficult, oh, still I have to go a little, you know, beyond, I did the marks, but still I have to do more, double it. it's for, you know, I have to say, after some years and few times it happens, you become more, docile and confident that, yes, you know, I have to go a little beyond, you know, Krishna is a nice person, he will, you know, he just wants me to increase. One other thing I would like to also say is, maybe that Krishna wants us to continue and finish up this service, you know, in his way. But sometimes, no. Sometimes it's definitely not the, you know, he wants us to stop going this direction and going somewhere. And it's not always easy. I'm not giving a, you know, solution, eh? Just expose the situation. It's not always easy to see if, you know, Krishna wants me to be more determined, okay, or Krishna wants me to just, you know, go in another direction.
In this case, Prabhupada wanted us to go in the same direction, although we could not see the logic of it.
Yeah, you got the letter, you know, please maintain my center, then, no doubt. But it's not always like that, and it's not easy to see, you know. Should I be more? Even sometimes I felt that, you know, maybe Krishna is allowing me to go to, you know, to go on this plan because I desire it so much for him.
may not be his idea, but okay, you really want, okay, go along. But, you know, ultimately at the end, you know, I will tell you, you know, no, it was not that. So it's, what do you think? I mean, it's not easy to sometime know, you know, should I be determined really and go beyond and beyond and try again? Or is it Krishna who is just telling me, you know, I mean, I told you already 3 times that it is in the wrong direction, you know. So now I added one prayer, you know, when I have some, you know, goal like that, you know, a service, you know, I feel that, you know, my authorities or Krishna wants me to do that, or he looks, you know, I should go into that. I pray to Krishna, the deities, you know, please, if it is not what, if it is not good for me, or if it is not what you really want, please don't put me into it. I pray that now, simultaneously. I keep my enthusiasm because, you know, logically, strategically, and, you know, Krishna and everything put together, it looks like, you know, that's really what I should do. But I had the experience of, you know, a few times like that, that it looks really that's what I should do, but then Krishna, at the end, no, okay. So, you know, I'm a little worried about my convictions like that now, and I keep, you know, enthusiastic, you know, and yes, great, you know, Krishna. But still, I had that, you know, Krishna, you know, if it's not good for me, for my spiritual life, or it's too much for me, maybe, you know, I feel I am, you know, or if it is not your plan, please, you know, take me out of this, you know, idea or service like that. So I feel better like that. I feel better. That helps me also to be a little detached of, you know, I am the doer, you know. Oh, I'm going to do that, you know, and great, you know, like that, you know. You know, help me to feel, oh, you have to be, at least I incorporate this idea, you know. I have to be a little detached. You know, it may not work, or Krishna may not work. And otherwise, you know, when it doesn't work, you put so much of yourself, of your heart, and whatever, intelligence, money, this and that, and it doesn't work at the end. Then you become a little dejected, you know, or depressed for a while, and you have to find out, you know, another service or another. But if at the beginning we, okay, you know, it's you, Krishna. Anyway, you understand what I mean? Can you comment on that, maybe? Yes.
Well, I don't know if I can comment exactly on that, but I was thinking about something when Bhishma said, okay, well,
back to Bhishma.
In the purport, Prabhupada saying, well, Bhishma Devi said, I'm going to give it all anyway. And then, what he knew was a lost cause. So, is that it like Jatayu? He knew it was a lost cause to fight with Ravana. And he was going to die. But he did it out of duty. So sometimes we find ourselves like that. You know, like we're in a situation where, materially speaking, we're losing. It's a losing situation. Like a traumatic experience you have. There's no way you're going to become happy. Like if your son dies or your wife runs away or your husband cheats on you, whatever, you're traumatized. No matter what you got to do about it, that's what it is. But even if it's a lost cause and on the material platform they don't seem to be any solution, still we're advised to give it our best devotionally. Keep on serving Krishna. Even if you're going to be depressed for many, many years, because there's no solution to these problems materially, then in the long run, we're going to understand better why it happened and what it really did to us. And it was actually needed and a blessing in disguise. We evolved spiritually like that. So Bhishma Devi, he knew all that. He knew it was a lost cause. He's going to lose. But he's saying, I'm not going to spare any energy. I'm going to give it all I got, even if I'm going to lose. And Krishna was pleased with his service.
Yeah, that's another side, huh? It's good, huh? exchange of realizations on the subject amongst different devotees. Very, very good. Yes?
I experienced that many years ago when I went from Nairobi to South Africa with Rishi Kumar Swami, and when I woke up and found a note, dear Shuddhi decided to split, and he'd gone and taken the money with him, and that was in a country where, you know, the people didn't like, you know, because I was white, they didn't like me for being white, and the government that was apartheid, white government, didn't like me for mixing with the other races. So I was like a target to be killed by so many different groups of people. And I was there alone trying to do the preaching, and, you know, the Indians were set in their ways, and the other groups it was illegal to mix with, even though we had to anyway, to mix with them. Well, it was illegal for me to mix with the Indians and the blacks. So, but I had to anyway to try to start things going, and I was hiding out all the time, and eventually I got thrown out, but then as the next people came and they were able to build a, you know, a huge movement there, so if I left, nobody would want to go there with the debt. At least I paid off the debt and left the next people with a car and $5,000 worth of books that were paid for and a group of contacts that were already made. So if I'd given up, it would have been, you know, there probably wouldn't even be in South Africa today, because no one would want to go there at that kind of difficulty. And I think of things how Krishna arranges that, like when I came to India again, like in 2010, at my mother's house sold, my daughter put my things in storage. Then she put my mother's things we kept, and then her stuff she put in front of that and moved to Bali. So now when I go back to America, I just get a temporary place close to the temple, and then I give it up when I go. So obviously Krishna wanted it that way. It would be difficult for me to get the things and set up a permanent household in America. And it's so difficult to get to those. It was 50 miles from Madhuna, and I'd have to move all their stuff out of storage and then put my stuff in a truck and put all theirs back in storage. So, you know, for a while I was taking care of granddaughter and then taking care of my mother after she had injuries. I did that for 9 months, and my granddaughter was in high school, so I barely even left Laguna Beach at all. Mm. I was either at the temple or at the house or doing something, taking care of family members. And now it's like I'm traveling most of the time, so, you know, accept it the way Krishna arranges it. Even though sometimes we wonder, huh?
It's another good teaching, eh? So all these different points came out from Bhishma Dev, Jai. Yes, that's, you know, verse about Bhishma Dev, you know, whatever side we take it, you know, Bhishma Dev knew, anyway, whatever he knew or felt or think about, he knows it for Krishna. And he blew his conch shell full, you know, full force, you know. So, you know, that's very, he's a very attractive personality, Bhishma Dev. He's, you know, so he's one of our hero, you know, like Prabhupada, he's a hero. Bhishma Dev is also a hero, and in this sense, you know, whatever happens, you know, if we have to blow our conch shell, let's blow it full force. And then, you know, that's our relationship with Guru and Krishna. Whatever, you know, we have to give our life completely. We know that, you know, at the end, whenever is the end or whatever end we speak about, at the end we will have to give everything to Krishna, or Krishna will take everything, whatever, you know. So we may not be able to do that right now, to give everything or to accept that Krishna takes everything, but at least in our heart we know that ultimately that's what it's going to be. You know, we will belong completely to Krishna's pleasure. And that's wonderful. You know, by his mercy, he will bring us to this point. And he's a kind person, intelligent also. He knows how to do things nicely. He's a good doctor. Okay, good surgeon. Yes?
What happened with your son? You were just in the middle of
racing. Yeah, thank you. Let's go back to real stories. Well, I took him to Delhi. You know, there's nothing extraordinary. All is well which end well. But I took him to Delhi and dead of night. I went to one hospital, I don't remember which one, that the Mathura hospital told me, bring him immediately there. You know, he's finished, you know, meningitis. So, you know, yeah. So I brought him there. In the dead of night, I had two other children. Anyway, they told me, oh no, you have to deposit money first if you, you know, like that. And I had no more, you know, no more rupees, nothing left. You know, I calculated it was the end. So I had, you know, still they agreed, you know, to take him. So he remained there with my wife, and I had to go in the night, find a bank, because everything was closed, of course, a banker who would agree to take my card, you know, and get some cash, you know, in rupees, you know, so I could bring it all during the night, you know. I was, you know, with my two other children, with me, and wow, what a incredible. And then I spoke, before leaving the hospital, I spoke to the chief doctor, and, you know, we could speak together, okay, I was doctor, so I said, okay, well, you know, we know the thing, you know, that either it is a virus or it is a bacteria, you know, meningococcus. So you cannot know. You just have to have a punction, you know, in the liquid there. So he said, okay, I will do that, you know, as soon as possible, immediately, and I call you when I have the results. You know, if it's a virus, it's okay. No, it's not a big thing. If it's a bacteria, you know, you have like 50 chance that he's going to die in the, you know, next day. So, 50%. Huh? 50%. Yes. Yeah, meningococcus A, it's like that, you know. So anyway, I went away, tried to get the money, and, and you know, like, you know, 3 hours later, I was somewhere in Delhi. I mean, it was an impossible story. And I got the call, you know, oh my God, yes, so the number of the hospital, you know, oh, what are you going to say? Virus. You did it, you know. My wife, she told me, you know, he brought like a, you know, it was not a syringe, he was like, you know, like a mridanga. My son was already almost unconscious, you know. Just my wife became unconscious also when she saw that. Anyway, the outcome was not dangerous. Yes, yeah, thank you to be real. I felt. Yeah, so I thanked Krishna, took everybody, go to the plane. It was the day where we were supposed to leave, you know, anyway. So I took the plane and the children, you know, fever, everything, a nightmare. You know, running out of Vrindavan under the storm in the dark. And Krishna, I already know Raj at all. I'm not, you know, laughing too much about that. I respect you. But, and, you know, arrive in Paris, and, you know, our Ram Dass, you know, you don't know Ram Dass, he's a god brother. He used to drive Srila Prabhupada in Paris, you know. Each time Prabhupada would come, Ram Dass was driving Prabhupada to New Mayapur and there like that. I arrived in Paris, somehow or other he knew that I was, you know, the day I was coming back. And I was on duty as a doctor. I arrived in the morning, I was on duty in the evening, you know. I was replacing another doctor, and I had calculated to come back right there, you know. And I could not be late. And the whole thing was, phew. So I was, my God. And Ram Dass was there at the airport with a big limousine, you know, he used to drive big people. Big limousine, big smile. Prabhu, I drive you back to Bordeaux. You know, that's, you know, 600 kilometers, you know. I came here just to drive you back, you know. Wow, that was really. Then I saw, you know, a little smile ball from Krishna. I said, okay, thank you. Everything ends well, which is well, which ends well. And like that, yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's close to. He comes here, whew, in spiritual life, eh? Right? Sometimes, eh? It's not always, you know. sometimes, you know, the wow, you know, the consciousness, oh, not one drop above, please. a few times I felt that in my life, you know, I felt the flavor of, you know, catastrophe just coming, and just, yuppie, when I show Mr. Krishna. And that's good, because, you know, now I know that Krishna is there. Because not once, but twice, three, it happens, you know, so I know that Krishna is kind, you know. I deserve what I deserve, for sure, bad things. But he just showed me what I deserved, you know. Oh, my God. And, oop. So we can, without reservation, like Bhishma Dev, he blew his conch shell without reservation, knowing well that it was, you know, on many sides, a lost cause. But, you know, his relationship with Krishna was a winner cause. So he blew his conch shell full, you know, full himself. And all end well for him and for, you know, the devotees of the Lord. So that's maybe one lesson I would give, you know, one idea I would give from this verse, that Krishna never... you can count upon him. You know, we can count completely. You know, he said, "Machita sarva durgani mat prasadat karishyasi." All durgani, all, you know, big test, difficulty we all have in life, each of us. You know, he said, "Mat prasadat karishyasi." You will overcome it by my mercy. So let's depend not only on our endeavors, which, you know, has to be there, enthusiasm and whatever it means to pursue our devotional service, but depend also and mainly on Mad Prasada, on Krishna's mercy. And he will, you know, he will make, you know, arrangements that we did not think about. Oh, Krishna. And thank you to Srila Prabhupada, who revealed to us who really is God. You know, not a vague idea. And when the tough times are coming, vague idea is not enough to keep you like that, you know. Just, you know, okay, God. But Prabhupada gave us, you know, the complete God, the real Krishna. More than that, he gave us his Krishna. Everybody has his Krishna, but I want to go back to Prabhupada's Krishna. I trust him. I trust this one. Okay. Jai Bhishmadev ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.